can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. Also by AWM Construction, if you're looking for roofing and gutters, only place to stop there. And then Fast Signs, 80 at fastsigns.com for more information. So those are all the Facebook Live sponsors. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to all of them at mightyhouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at mightyhouse.net and at our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you missed the first 2 hours of this show, you can always tune in at, what is it, 4 o'clock, Sonar? So
yes, it is.
4 o'clock. From 4 to 6, we're back on again. They replay the first 2 hours of the show. So, and if you're listening in the afternoon, call in the morning. Tune in the morning. You get to hear the whole show. So
the next morning?
No, because it's like, if it's 4:15 right now, or what is it? It'll be 5:07 technically, 5:08, somewhere in there. You know, if you're listening in the afternoon, you can tune in and listen to the whole show in the morning, 7 to 10, right here on 1590 WCGO. All right, give us a call at Your Name Here Helpline, 877-711-5611. And we've got a couple of people on hold, but you can still call in. Are you looking for a luxury kitchen at an affordable price? Don't go any further than alinecabinets.com. That's A-L-I-N-E cabinets.com. All right.
Holy crap.
Let's go to the phones and... Let's go to start off with Corey. Hey, Corey, you're on Mighty House. Are you there?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
And he's
are you from
up
the Chicago now area?
Yeah, it's actually Mount Prospect.
There you go.
All right.
Outside Chicago.
That's right.
Yeah.
My question is, we have downspouts by the house, and the front yard has an oak tree that's, you know, probably 50 years old, and it raised the front yard up.
Mm-hmm.
So now the water is sort of draining back toward the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at burying the downspout. What would be a good way of doing that in the, you know, considering the freezing in the winter and stuff?
Does it drain?
Well, do you have a path from the downspout to someplace past the tree that's lower, that's more or less unobstructed?
Yeah, it would have to go under the ground. It would probably just through the front yard.
Right, but you got to get past that tree. Right.
Right.
But anyway, long story short, the best thing to do is use 4-inch perforated drain tile. You can dig a trench, say 12 inches down, and then just run your pipe out there. And you use the perforated because if there's, you know, and all the water will leach into the ground before it freezes, kind of thing, in the winter. And the big thing is when you put your downspout into that drain tile, do not make a tight connection. Leave it open. There's an air gap. That way, if that pipe ever freezes, the water will just spill over at the top. You're fine. But yeah, you can just use 4-inch perforated drain tile from the box store. It's pretty inexpensive.
Is the neighbor's yard lower than yours?
Nice.
No, they're about the same. About level.
Well, if they're lower, you just kick it over in the neighbor's yard. You're fine.
No, you don't do that.
ending it in the middle of the yard, do you use like a pop-up drain or?
See, now I would
dig like a trench. Yeah, not a trench.
I would rather get it to a low spot and just cut the end of the pipe off if you could, because the pop-up is what's going to cause you problems in the winter. it's not going to function properly. It could freeze up. That's where you'll start getting the backup, you know, where you guys had some really cold weather, a couple inches of snow, then, what, 3 inches of rain?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a huge problem for you. So if you can get it piped like a culvert in front of your street or a low spot at the street, something like that, it's better. But without seeing, you know, I don't know how much pitch you have in your yard.
So the thing...
There's not going to be... If you're burying it at 12 inches, it's not going to be... It's not going to... I'm not going to have enough space.
Well, it doesn't really have to be 12 inches.
Yeah, you just need it below the surface, really.
Grass will still grow.
Yeah. Yeah, so what I did with mine, I ended up running mine about, I think, 40 or 50 feet to the front yard, and I did the pop-up deal. But I used the perforated all the way through so that way... It's only like during heavy rains when the sump pump turns on that you'll actually see any water coming out of it. Most of the time in a normal rain, if the sump pump's not turning on, you don't even ever see any water come out because it drains, it percolates down into
the ground
before it makes it there. So the other thing I did, though, is I went down, I think, 10 or 12 inches, and then I put a gravel bed in there, and then I put the drain tile in and then more gravel over it, and then I just put a top dressing on of like 3 inches of dirt so that way that has, as it goes down through there, it can percolate and go down into the gravel real easy. So, especially if you just
have to put a catch basin in the, where the downspout comes off the house for like leaves or anything else that maybe will come off the roof.
No, the downspout will barely fit in. No, the downspout will barely fit into a 4-inch tube. So you really, all you need to do is put that little air gap in there.
Right. And I don't, they do make a leaf guard you can put on that if you're worried about the leaves coming down the downspout, so that that way they come to any water coming out. If there are leaves, the leaves just get kicked out. That also gives you your air gap. So they have those at the landscape places too. When you're buying all your other parts, you'll see one that is just a leaf guard, and it's an angled like on a 45 degree with grates in it, so that the water goes through, the leaves don't. You've got a lot of leaves, especially with an oak in front, you may want to do that just to be safe.
Okay, yeah. Great. I will be a project for the summer.
There you go.
There you go. Especially when you get near the roots of the oak tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm afraid of.
Yeah. But the oak tree, the roots will repair themselves, and they'll like the water coming through that for you, too.
Just do a loop around the oak tree.
Yeah.
Would it be a bad idea to do like rent one of those trenchers?
Nope, not at all. That's exactly what I did. it was worth every penny.
Yes. Digging with a narrow shovel for 50 feet is highly overrated.
Yes.
Yeah, but a good workout.
Yes, yes it is.
Yes, it is.
So, there you go. All right, I appreciate
your phone
call.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
All right, and let's go to 2, and I believe that should be Will. Hey, Will, are you there?
Good morning, the 3 R's. How are you?
Richard Robbie.
Hi. Good
morning.
Triple R.
A couple things real quick. When I do an inspection, if it's in the winter, I will regularly go and turn on the exhaust fans in the bathroom and the vent over hood over the stove and the clothes dryer on air fluff in the basement and get a little bit of negative pressure in there, and then just use the camera, the thermal camera, to go around and check for air leaks. Sometimes I use a smoke pen too, but it's just a little, you don't necessarily have to go to a big blower door unless you need quantitative results that you can verify, for the code and stuff like that.
Right.
And the other thing too is that when you do improvements on insulation and things like this, you want to make sure you're having it done by a professional who knows the whole thing. Remember that house a long time ago, Ron, up in Highland Park, that the siding was peeling off? It was bulging off the sides?
Uh-huh, yep.
The woman had foam insulated her attic, which is great, and she then had the siding painted with that real, nice ceramic paint, which is no perms at all.
Yeah, it was like a rhino coat.
Yeah, Rhino Shield, and they had the brick basement, which you're never going to be completely dry.
Right.
So the old house, it was just the stack effect of just taking it out of the house, but now she sealed the house up a little bit, and they were getting the water, and the water had no place to go but the siding, and the siding just warped.
Oh, big
remember
time.
That, remember that place?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So whenever you do an improvement, you got to make sure that you're doing it with other stuff.
Yeah.
Right now, we're building our house with paper, and we're sealing them up tight, and we wonder why they get mold.
Yep. Uh-huh.
The old days, you'd run the shower forever, and it just went out through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to watch stuff now.
Yeah, well, you clog up one system, and you can create other problems unknowingly. And so, you know, even though a house is balloon framed and all, there is no insulation in it, it dries out really, really well. So once you start insulating it, now all of a sudden you're going to start trapping moisture where it never did before. So, all right, we got a break here. Will, I appreciate the phone call, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Thanks.
Okay, if you're on hold, hang on. We'll be back right after this.
Is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
All right, we're back. And if you're listening on Facebook Live, you're getting quite an education on grills the past couple of breaks. We're talking all kinds of grills during the break, so it is. So
that's right. Next break, we'll talk about smokers.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Yeah, because I'm really, you know, that's the next thing that needs to go in there. So let's see. Who was it? Ed, that's on one. All right, let's go to one. Hey, Ed, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, no problem at all. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good
morning.
Morning.
So I've got a question about my crawl space. I've got a mouse issue, which I'm handling, but along the sill plate where the insulation is, there's some mouse bros and stuff. I'm pulling all that out, cleaning it all, disinfecting all that fun stuff. I should caulk and seal all the openings and fill all the holes, right, that they're coming through the penetrations?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but if you can put steel wool in there or a brass wool, that would help.
What about just the mouse barrier? Great stuff.
You can do that, too. Great stuff makes a foam, expanding foam, and it's bitter so that the mice don't like to chew through it. And so then that actually ends up keeping them out also. Does a good job with that.
Okay. My question, though, is the sill plate should be insulated, correct?
Yes. Yes, they should.
Okay.
Yeah, the sill plate, the rim joist.
What about a poly barrier on the top of the crawl space, inside the crawl space, on the walls and the floor?
So, you want to air seal it? Is that what you're talking about doing?
Yeah. Well, I want to you know, update it a little bit, make it clean and usable, type of sorta.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
So, I mean, if you have do you have a dirt crawl right now? Dirt or stone?
Cement.
Cement. Oh, you've already got the cement, so you're good. So then.
So you may not need all that. You might be able to just foam the rim joist and be done with it. You know, because if you've already got, you know, concrete walls and a mud slab, under that mud slab probably is a vapor barrier.
Yeah, and if you don't,
so you're
and if
probably
you don't,
in pretty good shape.
And if you don't, if you're still having moisture issues and humidity and stuff like that in the house you're trying to get rid of, by putting that plastic that you're talking about all around the perimeter and then on the floor and, like, encapsulating that crawl space, you eliminate,
right.
you're going to eliminate any air infiltration. You're also going to eliminate any moisture that evaporates into the building through the foundation walls. Even though you got plastic on the floor, that moisture can still come through the walls. So by air sealing that completely, you really tighten up that space a lot and cut down on the amount of moisture getting into the house. And it'll smell less musty. There's a lot of other little advantages to it too. But air sealing and foaming the rim joists is probably the first step if you're going to do that. And then after that, you still have problems, then I would wrap and encapsulate the crawl.
Okay, what about throwing a dehumidifier in there possibly to run into the sump pit?
Do the plastic probably won't be necessary.
Yeah, if you do the plastic, you won't need that. And here's the thing. If you do the dehumidifier, you know, what you're doing is you're drying out the air inside. So moisture wants to go from wet to dry all the time anyway. So if the humidity level inside the crawl space is the same as everywhere else, then there's nowhere for that humidity to go or the moisture to go. It just stays because it's equal. If you keep lowering, if you keep lowering the humidity level in the crawl space, always making it lower than anywhere else, that moisture from the ground, from the foundation, is constantly going to be drawn to that space. So you're better off encapsulating it and sealing, air sealing it, and then that way you don't have to worry about that moisture migration into the space. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yes, thank you so much.
All right, good. Well, hopefully we didn't confuse anybody else out there, but Robbie's not even paying attention to me.
Nope.
So
just a little osmosis talk.
Exactly. So, you know, if you can stop the migration, you shouldn't need to be running that dehumidifier all the time, you know.
Right.
Because the dehumidifier is not solving the problem. It's just putting a Band-Aid on it. So, and now you got to constantly pay to have that thing running. So, you know.
Okay. So that would pull, it would not only pull moisture from the rest of the house to the crawl space, it would pull it from outside, from the dirt around the wall.
Correct.
Around the foundation wall, inside. It would keep trying to draw that in.
Correct. It's going to draw moisture through the concrete. The concrete is very
simple
strong.
Simple rule of thermodynamics, more to less. Yeah. So whether it's temperature, whether it's moisture, it's more to less. So when you dry out that crawl space, it's going to try to get more moisture. Everything else is going to try to flood to it, whether it's through the house. So you could dry out the house. You could, you know, suck the moisture out of the dirt. So that's why we just air seal, like you said, plastic up the walls, plastic outside, you know, when we build. And then moisture is not the issue. It can't migrate in.
Right. So that's generally how we approach it these days. Now, that's not, if you've got an older home, that's not the way it was built. You know, older homes have ventilation. They thought they needed vents in there. You know, we close those up today. We seal those up now. We don't want that getting in there. So I don't know if you heard the first hour or not. That's what we did with an addition, is it had a crawl space, but we made it part of the conditioned space in the house by foaming and insulating the
walls. Right, I came in the middle of that.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Okay.
So there you go. You know, you could take some 2-inch foam and glue that to the exterior walls of your crawl space before you go ahead and put the plastic up, and that'll even add a little more insulation and, you know, help with keeping it even warmer down there. So is this open to a basement? Ed?
Sorry.
Is it open to the basement, or is that all just the whole house?
Well, there's a little, you know, door on the basement, you know.
Okay. So, yeah, right.
You know, into
still
it.
Technically that's attached to the basement. It's not truly open, but it is.
Yes.
You know, cuz it's not a sealed door, so whatever you got in there is going to get into the basement.
So then you could put insulation around the perimeter, and like Rich was saying, if you've got ductwork running through there, now you don't have to worry about any heat loss. All that would stay in the crawl space, stay in the house, and now that crawl space is conditioned space, and it'll last as long as you know, it'll be the same in the crawl space condition wise as it is in the basement or anywhere else.
Yeah, you might have to hunt around a little bit, but you can find 6 mil reinforced poly, you know, and you put that up on the walls and try to use as big a piece as possible, in other words, the least amount of seams, and then you use like a good Tyvek tape to tape up those seams. And if you can get it all sealed to the joist, a lot of times what the guys will do is they'll put a bead of caulk on your rim joist or on the sill plate. And, you know, you put a big thick bead of caulk there, and then you just staple the plastic to that, and that seals that portion where you can't get any moisture through. Then you foam from the bottom of the floor down across the rim joist to that sill plate, and now everything's totally encapsulated, and it's amazing. And you can hire companies to do it because it does suck. you know, but it's amazing in an older home, especially if you have a dirt crawl. It would be like having a brand new house because, like Ron said, you get rid of all that moisture smell, the mustiness, and your heating cooling bills will change by, I bet, 20-25%.
Yep. You'll get your money back in no time. And, you know, if you go to the big box stores, they sell the foam packs now. So if it's a smaller crawl, you can buy a 200 board foot pack and put 3 inches, just spray 3 inches on all the rim joists, you know. And just spray it, let it sit. You spray it and lift so that way you get about an inch foam, and then you come back, hit it with another coat. If you try to put all three.
And I would do that. And it's always my opinion. I would rather go around and make sure I have an inch on everything before I worry about adding more.
Right.
Because Mm-hmm. You get an R6.8, and you had R0 before, but with the benefit of the foam is the air, is the sealing abilities, the closed cell foam to stop air infiltration, which is huge.
Right.
You can't do it fiberglass. Okay. You know what I mean? So
yeah. And if you spray the foam, if you try to put all 3 inches up at once, what happens is it doesn't cure inside properly. So then you start to have other issues there, and where it doesn't do its job. So by spraying in small lifts, in small thicknesses, and you know, an inch and a half every time, it cures properly, and then you get nice good layers and air sealing that way too.
Except the tips start going bad fast. Yeah. You gotta move quick.
So hopefully that helps you out there, Ed.
It sure does. I really appreciate the help, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, good. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. Yes, yes, Robbie.
No, I was just trying to catch the end of it so I could try to figure out what you guys are talking about. But
you know, I have no clue what we were talking about. Okay. That's
cool. We could talk about the series finale of Scandal if you want, and I'd have more clue about that, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, no, you do know that the board that he held up, he spelled crawl spaces with a K.
Oh, with an H.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Because, you know.
Craw.
Craw.
Craw. Because a K is good for nothing.
Yeah.
Yes. Except when you want to spell the word kick.
No. You can spell that with a C.
I agree. Uh-huh. If there was no K, we would spell kick with a C.
C-I-C-C. Makes perfect sense.
Why not just C-I-C?
Uh-huh.
If there was no K.
That'd be chic.
No, that'd be C-H-I-C. See, there's an H.
So to kind of close off that insulation, Flex
Please.
Seal, right?
Yes. Hmm. There you go.
Honest with you, Flex Seal probably wouldn't be a bad way to go. This stuff does bond pretty good to stuff. So.
Yep.
Because essentially you guys are worried about permeability.
Yep.
The more holes something has, the easier it is for thermodynamics to go through.
For moisture.
So you want something heavy. If you just got heavy tarps or heavy plastic, would you need that insulation?
If you want to
the
temperature will still go, but you know, you're stopping the air with the plastic. The air infiltration is what you're stopping.
Okay.
You know, and you want it still
insulated. It's always a problem.
Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, it's always a problem. People confuse insulation with air sealing. They're two different things. Insulation does not air seal, and air sealing does not insulate.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're using closed cell foam, then you get R6.8 per inch, which is also a zero perm material, mm-hmm. and that's why it's such a great building product. Unfortunately, still too damn expensive. Thank you, BASF.
Uh-huh. But it's getting better. I think the 200.
I know, but the only manufacturer of part A is BASF, and that is why it's expensive. You can get soybean-based part B,
mm-hmm.
but part A is the killer.
Right, and it's I don't know, like, is it $300? $350, something like that for 200 board feet?
Wow.
Yeah.
To do the house, you're talking $1.25. A board foot,
right.
which is 12 inches by 12 inches, 1 inch thick, and you need 3 inches in your wall.
Yep.
So now you're talking $4 a square foot.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yes.
Boom, done. Expensive. The math is finished right there. He did
pretty it. Pretty expensive.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with more right after this. You are listening
more?
To... Yeah, more.
This is
more.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Pick you up, girl, if you're ready. Hold the vibe, rock steady, easy. We go slow, vibes are flow. The only woman that I truly know, a real woman, courteous and kind. The type of girl I idolize, a real queen.
Real queen,
you're so sweet.
So sweet.
From your crown to the soles of your feet.
I say
here we go.
Who is this?
We're coming back. This is Mighty House.
Yep, duh.
Wow, this is just so good.
You guys were talking Hawaiian, so I pulled up some Hawaiian music.
It's beautiful.
You ever listen to Hawaiian music?
No.
This is Kamea.
It's beautiful.
You're going to get us bounced off Facebook.
Yep.
I'll be your queen and you be my king, man. It's really beautiful. If you be my lion,
everything you say, we'll send it to you later. Everything you do, I want you to know. You make me say, ooh. You make me say, ooh. There you go. That's it. You want the intro? You can join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. You're the only one for me in the country. All right, are you done?
Yeah, it's
ready
beautiful.
Ready to take a nap? Where's your margarita?
It's just pretty.
All right, there we go.
Later.
Now what do you want to do?
I want to, unless there's no other topic, I want to talk about the granny pods.
Granny pods?
Granny pods.
Okay, what's granny pods?
You know how you guys gave me a hard time because I didn't read the newsletter?
Uh-huh.
Well, you don't read what I post on Facebook.
I saw granny pods, but I didn't go read the article. What is a granny?
Okay, so basically it's about $100,000 and you could have this shed built in your backyard.
Oh.
But it's... what is it? The Americans with
Disabilities Act?
Disability Act, right. So it's prepared that way. So there's room for wheelchairs and, you know, but it's like one room.
It's ADA compliant.
Thank you. It's ADA compliant and it looks really cool. There's a video monitoring system in there so you could, you know, watch who's ever in there. And there's all kinds of cool things in there.
And if you put a pool next to it, you can call it a pool house.
There you go. Speaking of which, you need to build one of those.
I know.
Okay. But anyway, the granny pod. So what I posted is, Rich, one of the things I used to say is I want to build, you know, another home in my backyard for somebody or in a plot of land in Florida where there's a home, there's a lot of lawn. I want to put little houses on there. And you guys are always saying, no, 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 you can't do that. But now somebody is saying you could build a granny pod in your backyard.
Yeah. There was eight no's in there.
Yeah. Just strap it down.
Well, here's the thing. If you call it a shed, that's one thing. But as soon as you put a bathroom and a kitchen in, now you've taken that lot that is zoned for single family and made it multifamily.
So?
Not good.
Not good?
Not acceptable.
But then why are they selling these things? It must be acceptable somewhere. Acceptable. I could spell that without a K.
Is that kind of like a tiny home C's? Then?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, they have it on a trailer. It's mm-hmm. a separate
no.
system.
No. Would you guys just look what I post on Facebook once in a while? Once in a while.
It's a shed.
No.
It's just a shed.
Okay.
But
it's
it has plumbing and electrical.
No.
Yeah.
Is it like a she shed?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're saying they actually have the plumbing put in there, but it's not going to pass zoning. You'd have to have the lot rezoned. Or wherever they built that, there is no zoning. Like, well, in Texas, they don't care. You can build whatever you want. Yeah. In Texas, you can do whatever you want.
You can still run power to a shed and not have to. It's that plumbing.
Right.
So if you just put, what's the difference between that and maybe a wet bar in the back?
Mm-hmm.
So is that having to be rezoned at that point?
No. No, I think once you put the bathroom in and a full kitchen, it's now...
Okay,
so let's say composting toilet, so you don't have to worry about
yeah,
that.
Uh-huh.
And then you put a wet bar,
uh-huh.
essentially, in the back, too.
Right.
Could you still get away with zoning? You run power and a composting toilet,
yep.
and then a wet bar. Would that get around zoning?
Probably.
Okay, the cottage...
No shower.
Especially if you didn't...
No shower.
The average is 12 by 24 feet.
Uh-huh.
And are comparable to the size of a master bedroom. There's a couple other styles. Creates some, as long as your backyard is properly zoned for it.
See,
it says the interior is like a mini nursing home. Contains high tech metal equipment like hand railings, a video camera system, so you could see what's going on inside. A soft floor to protect the person if they fall. It's ADA compliant.
I posted this to Facebook.
Pardon?
Did you post this to the Mighty House page?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
There.
There's something called a virtual companion, which will play messages like it's time to take your medicine. And now people are saying, well, doesn't it defeat the purpose of having a loved one? Wouldn't you want that loved one in your home?
No.
No.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't.
Or they don't want to be in your home.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
12 by 24, that's a trailer.
Yes, it is.
I mean, essentially, you just throw that on a trailer, and now you don't have to really worry about zoning.
Go,
I mean,
go maybe, buy an RV, knock the wheels off, and set it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful. There's a little mini kitchen in here. Uh-huh. You know, there's a mini laundry room. There's a little bedroom or a little bed. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, really so, very cute.
Yeah, that's
well,
that's
and basic. I think you're going to see kind of more of a growth of that now. Because,
yeah.
I mean, elder care has gotten pretty expensive, and you know, a lot of people can't afford it. A lot of people themselves. So.
I know. So it's.
I
a,
mean, we did. It's a, we do a good portion of our additions were related living.
Yeah.
So it's $100,000. So you, the person would sell the home that they have, mm-hmm. you know, so whatever, let's say you sell a $200,000 home. Go ahead. Apparently you want to take the call.
No, go ahead. Finish. Oh. I thought you were done.
No, I just want to know how I zone my house. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we'll have.
Yes. We'll talk.
We'll find out from Nick. Hey, Nick. Are you there?
Oh, hey, good morning.
Hi.
Morning.
Robbie wants to know how you can rezone her property so that she can put a shed in the back.
A granny pod.
She wants a granny pod.
If I had that answer, I probably wouldn't be calling you.
Okay. So then what's your question?
All right. So, well, I just wanted to, it was more of a comment with that downspout redirecting and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I had trouble hearing. I couldn't hear if you said that did have a big tree nearby or something like that, or if you're just throwing it on there. But just want to be careful when you are redirecting that stuff. If you have a tree that you're putting it towards that didn't have it there before, it will cause issues with your growth of tree. It's amazing. You think that you'd want to get a little bit more water to it, but if it's an older established tree, and then it also gets all that extra water on there, it's actually not good. So you just want to be careful when you're doing those redirecting for the downspout.
Okay, so you're saying too much water if once it's an established,
it.
Yeah. Oh, you're going
right.
to drown it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Talk to Mike Novak. He might be able to back me up on that one.
Okay.
So, just want to be careful. And I mean, like, if you have a tree that likes water, there's certain species that like extra water, like bald cypress, stuff like that. So if you have something along those lines that might not be a bad idea for it. But if you have like a big old oak tree, you certainly don't want to just start dumping extra water onto it, especially if it's an old dirt tree.
Right.
You know, so because it's grown and it's accepted where it's living, and so it kind of tolerates having water here and there when it gets it. That's all I was. I just didn't want anyone to cause themselves to have more issues than what they want. If they have a really nice tree and it starts to die, it sucks. Then you should get it yourself.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Yeah, cool. All right,
guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
Keep the poop. What was he saying? Keep the poop? I swore he was saying keep the poop.
Composting toilet.
Yeah.
Keep the poop. Peace be with you.
Got through 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah, we did.
Keep the poop. Keep the faith. So I can rezone my house. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. You can always
try
ask.
To rezone it. Odds are to get your property zoned multifamily because you're in a residential neighborhood is difficult because they're not going to look at it as a granny pod. They're going to look at it as you could put a four flat up.
Right. All right, here we go. This is for Nick that just called in.
We stand corrected.
Okay. Back to the show.
Or thanks, Mike Novak.
Yeah, that one too. So what you would do then is you would go to the building department, take in the plans showing with a plat of survey, showing your property, where you want to put this, what the setbacks are from the side yard and the backyard, where you're going to place it, how big it's going to be, and then you need plans for the layout of that, where the plumbing, electric, all that stuff's going to go. You submit that to the city, And then
you got a chance in hell then.
Then they're going to say, no, you can't do that. And then they'll say, okay, you got to apply for a variance. So then you go apply for a variance, and then they're going to say, no, you need to go to zoning. So then you're going to end up over at zoning, and then you're going to ask for a variance in zoning and then get a variance for your building department, and then you'll be able to build your prop, your granny shed if you...
So I can.
Maybe. It could be denied.
A year at least.
It could be denied anywhere through that process, and they just say
so no. Most of the time residential property is zoned for a house and one outbuilding.
Mm-hmm.
Now the outbuilding may or may not have size limitations in the particular code in that town, so I would just go in and pull my permit and build my shed and have it inspected,
right, and then finish it.
So if
then
I
go
have
back and do the rest of the crap you wanted to do.
If I have an attached garage, that's not considered an outbuilding then, right?
Correct.
So then I could build something.
But it has to...
Yes, you could.
It has to be within the setbacks, though. You know, the same. You can't be too close to the lot line. You still have to get that all approved.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the granny pod she's got online here,
uh-huh.
It looks like it's sitting on a couple of acres.
Yes.
So it's not really designed for in the city.
That's right. Hmm. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with Clutter Clarity next. You are listening to...
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Well, there you go. In that break, we were talking Helms.
Oh, tell
the
joke.
The Helmsman.
Can we tell the joke?
Discussion. No grill talk during that break if you missed it. So that's it. Go ahead. Sonar.
Oh, you want me
it's your radio station,
again.
Brother.
You can't say
it.
Helm, though. But you have to say it with the steering helm. Wheel. Helm. And then I'm going to ask people
yeah,
to call.
It's a pirate.
I don't care. Nobody gets Helm.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Not everybody.
Yeah.
Not everybody. Okay, so one-third of us don't get it. So that means one-third of your audience you're putting off.
Okay.
Okay,
the sailors out there will love this.
Exactly.
And so, I'm going to guess that. Go ahead.
So a pirate walks into the bar with a helm in his pants.
Steering wheel.
Which is a boat's steering wheel. The bartender says, what do you got with that thing? He says, yar, it's driving me nuts. The nut driver.
No.
No?
No, not funny.
It wasn't as funny the second time?
877.
It's the whole splaining thing that's not working.
That's
well.
Why you can't say helm. 877-711-5611. Did you like it? Didn't you like it? I'm going to say the number again because we're going to give a prize.
Oh, you are?
877-711-5611. Did you like the joke? One of our bubblers.
A bubbler?
Did you like the joke? Did you not like the joke? Did you need explained what helm is? People, call me. Be on my side. You need explained what helm is. Okay, and then you will win a prize. You will win a Mighty House.
Jokes are definitely a lot less funny when you have to explain them.
Yeah, I agree. No doubt.
So in the Navy now, it used to be that position was a helmsman, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, is it now a helms person? Or is it still a helmsman?
I think they're trying to do that. They're trying to put it over to person, but then people are like, no, man, I earn my rate. Like,
yeah,
it's
a helmsman.
Yeah, I mean, granted, no matter what you fall onto, we are all still the human, the man race. Like,
okay.
I'm sorry, of man.
Okay.
So you'll win.
Like an Uber driver for a boat?
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll win a little tool that has... A tape measure in it. Mm-hmm. It has a notepad. It has a pen. It has
a bubbler
in it. It has a little belt clip. So call 877-711-5611.
And what? Why?
Let us know what you thought of that joke, if you need it explained or not, and we will pick the sixth caller.
Oh.
But you have to tell us what you think of the joke.
Robbie rules.
Robbie rules. Sixth caller.
Yeah?
It's that simple.
On three.
Two. One.
Go.
Go.
Line three.
Oh, you want me to go to line three? All right. What about that right there?
There's a phone call.
Oh, we're going to three? All right. Who's on three?
For Clutter Clarity.
Hello?
Hello? We don't have...
Hey,
it's Pat.
No, this is Ben.
Ben.
I ran your show last week.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ben.
I like that joke, and I knew what a boat wheel was.
Well, duh. So we could have said boat wheel. We could have said steering wheel. We didn't have to say helm.
Boat wheel.
Why? Aren't you supposed to play to the lowest common denominator? Not everybody is a sailor or knows what helm is.
That's true.
Thank you, Ben.
But if we played to the lowest common denominator, we wouldn't have an amazing show like this.
There you go.
And if he actually had just stuck to Hellman, you'd have thought he'd talk about mayonnaise, so you're still screwed.
Womp, womp, womp.
Have you heard the new Ace jingle?
Hey, Ben?
Yes.
Thanks for the phone call, brother.
Thanks for putting on a great show every week.
Oh, jeez.
All right, check the
You
mail.
Don't count as one of the sixth calls, by the way.
Oh,
you
he
do
does?
Not.
Right,
no.
It wasn't in your
no.
Robbie rules. I didn't see a disclaimer.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see Ben was disqualified because he cut his
disqualified.
Hair.
Ben is disqualified.
Okay.
Oh, what?
Ben. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware.
Person.
Helm.
Helmsman.
Helm. Goodbye. Could somebody hang up, please? Just click. Thank you. Ace is the place
Bye,
with
Ben.
The helpful hardware.
Helmsman.
Folk.
Folks. Okay.
Yeah. We know what it used to be.
Uh-huh.
We know what it used to be.
Are you ready?
Now?
Are you ready for Clutter Clarity or not?
No, we got things to talk about. We got contests going on. Let's go. Vamanos! Ow! Rich is going to sing along.
Vamanos! Not a chance.
Just do a couple. Woo!
Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Kids,
yes,
can you
I
get
do.
That jumbled hodgepodge
yep.
pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Come on, Rich. Yeah.
Sailing from the Lord, help me get away.
And we just
All right, let's
it.
Do Clutter Clarity. We're on a break. Coming up on a break.
Only you can save me now.
This is going to make a best of cut, right? How far is heaven?
Keep like singing,
that.
Rich.
Oh,
I need me to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
Yeah, when we run the best of Mighty House, please highlight this clip because this was
be no
awesome.
Best of.
This will be
Mighty
closing
House
out the
recycles.
Show tonight. This will be the last thing people hear on 1590 of Mighty House show tonight.
All right.
And she's out of here.
You've got 2 minutes.
Great. Okay. So I walked through a new client's home yesterday, and I think a lot of people have this issue, so we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Perhaps you are in a hurry to move into the new home. Perhaps you don't have a lot of help moving into that new home. Perhaps you've been in that new home for 2, 5, 10 years.
15, 20.
And you never really took a chance to look around and see what makes sense. And that was what had happened with this woman's house. So we're walking through the house.
Nothing makes sense.
The placement and the organization did not make sense.
When the movers dropped things into each room, that's where it stayed.
Kind of. So, for example, we were in a back room and there was a closet and we opened up the cabinet, the shelf, whatever, and all her candlesticks and vases were in there. And granted, they were tall, you know, they were, what's this, maybe 1.5, 2 feet tall. So you needed, you know, a place with room for them.
Right.
And I'm like, where are all the candles? And then we walk through the entire house to get to another cabinet and there's all the candles. I'm like,
that's part of her exercise program.
Why is this? Well, because all the candlesticks don't fit in this, and this is where I, you know, want to keep all my candles. Well, maybe move the candles to where the candlesticks are.
Okay.
Because, again, when they moved in, it was just put things where they belong. Oh, no, they're too tall here. And then maybe it was a case of never getting around to then
organizing
it. And I said, well, where are all of your... So I said, you obviously throw a lot of parties. You know, well, not anymore. I don't throw very many parties anymore. Well, why do you have two dozen sets of these huge, you know, candlesticks? I don't know, because I've always had them.
Uh-huh.
So you have that issue. Think about the use of your things. You don't throw these elaborate parties anymore, so you don't need these elaborate candlesticks. So where are all the rest of your entertaining supplies, you know, your platters
garage.
And things like that? Right. They're somewhere different. They're in the garage, or they're in the basement, or they're in the kitchen.
In the attic.
Right. I'm like, do you see what's happening here? You know, and it was the same with just about everything in her house. Like a bathroom supplies, makeup, hair care, you know, personal toiletry kind of items.
So her hair dryer was downstairs in the bathroom and her curling iron was upstairs.
Possibly. But it's kind of like that. Well, you know, I have some stuff here in case I'm ever in this bathroom, but most of my stuff is in, you know, the main bathroom. And then my husband has to keep his stuff over in here.
His curling iron's over there.
It's amazing how many people keep their underwear in the bathroom.
What?
Yeah.
We'll be back with Lisa from Solar Services next.
Mighty House will return.